is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. We certainly appreciate you keeping us company on this chilly December evening. It snowed earlier, but it didn't stick, so it really doesn't count now, does it? All right, let's do some School of Fools. I got to tell you, I got such a backlog of School of Fools. Like, we could do, like, 3 weeks of just School of Fools. It is amazing how much stupid shit goes on in our schools. Nah, send your kids there.
So I text dollars at work.
Yeah, it's very disconcerting when you see all the nonsense that goes on. All right, here we go.
School of Fools.
All right, Lillian Huckabee, a white Coosa High School student, said she was yelling and loud in meeting with administrators, yet they didn't suspend me. A group of black students in Rome, Georgia, are alleging racial discrimination after several of them were suspended for planning a protest while their white counterparts were allowed to wave a Confederate flag on campus with no consequences. Four white students at Coosa High School waved a Confederate flag and reportedly hurled racial slurs during a, quote, farm day. Doesn't sound like farm day. Sounds like plantation day. Themed school spirit week leading up to homecoming. The white students faced no repercussions and their black counterparts planned a protest to bring awareness to the situation. However, before the protest even happened, several black students were suspended. It's called a preemptive suspension. We know you're going to do some shit we don't like. We know. Look at you. Of course you are. On Thursday, October 7th, the day of the flag-waving incident, several black, white, and Hispanic students went to the school's front office to air their grievances with school administrators. They say black students were then suspended while the white and Hispanic students who supported them were not. Lillian Huckabee, a white Coosa High School student, said she was yelling and loud during the meeting with administrators, yet they didn't suspend me. All the African Americans, they suspended them, and they didn't suspend them, Huckabee told CBS 46 reporter Haley Mason, motioning toward other protesting white and Hispanic students. According to Newsweek, an announcement was made over the school's intercom and recorded saying, the administration is aware of tomorrow's planned protest. Police will be present here at the school. That's a little much. Slow down. And if students insist on encouraging this kind of activity, they'll be disciplined for encouraging unrest. But you know what doesn't encourage unrest? A Confederate flag. Nothing says calm and peaceful like a Confederate flag. Dozens of Coosa High kids ignored those warnings and had their say. I feel the Confederate flag should not be flown at all. It is a racist symbol and it makes me feel disrespected, student protest organizer Jalen Murray told CBS 46. Another student, Dazia Fain, said, I felt really disrespected how the school didn't do anything about it, and when we are not allowed to wear Black Lives Matter stuff and they are allowed to carry a racist flag around. Well, maybe they were showing you what not to carry. Maybe that's what they were doing. That's probably what it was. It was a display of behavior of not to do. Why can't we all get along? Many parents supported the October 8th protests, which continued outside of the school. They brought food, water, and ice and helped to monitor the protests. Additionally, some parents of the black students were notified about their child suspensions by sheriff's deputies who came to their home. Really? Isn't that a little much? One parent said a deputy pulled her over while she was driving to tell her that her daughter had been suspended and that she's black. The suspensions are 2 weeks long, starting Friday, October. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Starting Friday, October 8th and lasting through October 22nd and include the Coosa High homecoming, which the table students will not be allowed to attend, but they wouldn't like it. It was just a bunch of whips and cotton anyway. One black parent, Lakeisha Morgan. What? No? Sounds like it might be.
No.
It sounds like it could be.
It sounds like it might be.
One parent, Lakeisha Morgan, said she has repeatedly complained about the emotional distress her three suspended children have endured after being called racial slurs at the school. It's an education! And we're doing psychology over here! See? We want to see how you react when you get called horrible names! It's all part of the learning experience, Lakeisha! You're missing what we're doing! You're missing the big picture, Lakeisha! She noted that CUSA administrators always claim to be looking into the matter, yet take no action. Yes! They're looking into the matter! They're looking over there! I mean, sure, the matter's over here, but they are clearly looking into the matter over there! Look, even Joe's looking away. Joe's looking into the matter himself. Thank goodness Joe's on the case.
Actually, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm actually looking at the matter.
Joe is on it, kids.
I had the story that you sent on the break. I brought up the same story, but from a different, not a different angle, just a different, what has a little bit more in there. Which I'll add when it's my turn, but yeah.
Joe has an interview with the Confederate flag in his story. He went to Fox News.
There's a lot to unpack.
All right. In Floyd County, where CUSA High School sits, black students are suspended at the highest rate of 8%, while only 4% of white students are suspended and 2% of Hispanic students. I don't know what that fucking means. I mean, we need to know what the kids are doing. That's just a statistic, but whatever.
Yeah.
The Rome Floyd County NAACP sent a letter to the school 6 months ago, I bet it was strongly worded, asking its officials to address issues of racially motivated harassment. They plan to meet with parents regarding the most recent incident. Clearly, the letter's working well. We went to hear the concerns of the parents, branch president Sarah Delice Malone told Newsweek. We've received so many telephone calls, we need to hear it from them, then we'll follow up those complaints. Before Joe adds to the story, I do have audio from one of the students who was protesting, if you want to hear it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Yeah.
Right here, right now. I didn't get all the African Americans that was up there. They suspended them. They didn't suspend me. They didn't suspend her either. And we both disrupted all the eighth grade classes.
What did you tell me about the white privilege? How do you feel about that?
I feel that they gave the white people more privilege than they do the African American. They let them slide with more stuff than the African Americans get to.
So what are you all out here protesting to say?
To say that they need to stop racism at the school we're not allowed to walk around with a Black Lives Matter shirt on or LGBTQ flags, but kids can walk around with Confederate flags out here and not get.
So basically, this was a white student, and she felt there is a double standard at the school. And besides, they can't wear Black Lives Matter, they can't wear LGBTQ shirts. All right, Joe, what did you find from Newsmax?
What I find interesting, and it's just a whole lot of shenanigans going on. First of all, if the kids are running with a Confederate flag, we could have a whole debate over the Confederate flag. What we can't debate about is the racial slurs being yelled out. That's awful. The kids go in to have a meeting, and he said it was a heated meeting. Maybe these black people got out of hand where it warranted a suspension. Hey, who knows?
Well, Joe, but Joe, that's not what this white student is saying. This white student is saying, I was loud and I didn't get suspended. So it might have gotten heated, but according to this white student who participated, it was only the black students who were suspended.
Right. So everything gets exacerbated. It gets out. So now, look, I don't trust this school as far as I could throw them. Because basically, yeah, the NAACP said we want to address these issues regarding racially motivated harassment. The school said they wanted to set up a date and said the NAACP never got back to them. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, Joe, in their defense, I'm sure the NAACP was on black people time. Go on. That was worth it just for Pip's look.
as they did, the school said, our main concern to getting rid of the racial atmosphere and intimidation in the school, as well as addressing the racial disparities in the school suspensions, he said, the guy from the school said, we're really hoping that this will translate into some kind of a policy. That's kind of closing the door of the barn after the horse ran out, you know, after all of this. So, I feel that there has been racism in this school, and I feel that the school really hasn't taken it seriously. And for the school to make a statement after the fact, I think it's kind of hypocritical. And they're also saying, well, we reached out to the NAACP, but they haven't gotten back to us. Something stinks, you know.
You know what this school sounds like to me? Once in a while, the state will come in and take over a school if it's not being run properly. It seems like the state needs to come in and take over this school. Well, first of all, you can't be in Georgia, in any state, but especially Georgia, in the Deep South, where there was such racism and slavery and Jim Crow. You can't have students waving a Confederate flag. If you want to have it on your front property, we've all said, have at it. It's your property. By all means, have at it. You know, we might not want to stop there, but have at it. It's your property. You can display whatever you want to display unless there's town ordinances against it. But you really think bringing a Confederate flag to school is not going to cause problems? And then, as Joe touched on and was mentioned in the story, you're going to throw in racial slurs? You think that's not going to be an issue?
You see, that's the thing. I mean, we could sit and argue for hours of the merits of the Confederate flag in history, but when you go, well, they were saying racial slurs while they were doing.
Yeah, but Joe, when they're adding racial slurs to the Confederate flag, I know their motivation for the Confederate flag. This wasn't about Southern pride. This was about pissing off minorities. This was to start shit.
In this case, yes.
Yeah.
There's no argument.
And you're not going to let somebody wear an LGBTQ shirt, which I don't even know what that looks like. Maybe it's My Little Pony. I really don't know.
Probably rainbowy. Rainbowy
with
shit on it.
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe it's a big picture of Freddie Mercury and Elton John doggy style. I have no idea what an LGBTQ shirt looks like. But
Where can I get that with glitter on it?
I think they're doing it next record store day. I think you can get a limited supply. But all right, so you're not going to allow Black Lives Matter, which, again, we've talked about this a million times, which essentially means, hey, we matter. That's essentially what Black Lives Matter. So you're not going to allow that shit, but you're going to allow the Confederate flag? That's a problem. And here's the thing. They suspended these students before they protested. You know, it wasn't like they protested, it got out of hand, we suspended them. You go, okay, maybe it got out of hand. They suspended them before they protested. They're calling the sheriffs in for this. Really? The police have to go to people's houses before the kids even fucking protest? And 2 weeks. This isn't even just a slap on the wrist. 2 weeks, and they miss homecoming for going, hey, we don't want to be called the N-word, and we don't like the Confederate flag. How dare you? This whole school needs to be cleaned up. All these people in charge, out. May they never get a job in education again. I can't believe I'm reading this story in the year 2021, and I'm not going to say the media is not covering it. Of course they are. How else do you think I found it? I'm not a member of Coosa High School. But I will say, I'm surprised it's not a bigger story. I'm surprised it did not make more headlines than it did, because this is so egregious. A lot of times we do stuff and they go, all right, well, this is the gray area. It could mean this. It could mean that. This is fucking awful.
Yeah, and it really didn't make sense to suspend the black kids. I mean, because you think it's not that's going to be fine. It's, you know, this story blows up. And like I said, the school said, well, we're really hoping this will translate into some kind of policy. Some kind of policy?
That sounds very vague.
Yeah. You know, so I think it's just been a culture that's been going on. And it finally came to a head.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we all agree. I'm glad we all agree on that one. I'm glad we don't have to fight about that one. That does me well.
You know, that's why I brought it, because I wanted to see if there was any more to the story when the kids were in the office where it got vocal, and maybe they felt that they should just suspend. So I went and looked at the site. That's why I was reading off of that. But it wasn't a good move. It's something that needs to be addressed now.
Well, I got to tell you, Joe, if you call if you yell racial epithets at young people, they might be a little upset. They might get a little heated. So it's not to be surprised that the kids waving the Confederate flag are okay, but the kids of a darker color are a little fucking pissed off. I mean, clearly there's a problem with this. Where do these kids? And you know what? The white kids knew this was going to happen. They knew it was okay to brandish the Confederate flag and say this shit. You don't do this stuff unless you think you're going to get away with it. These kids got away with it.
Yeah,
all right.
The other story that I was reading during the break, this was going on for a while, before the whole thing with the flag. So this was just the last, the pretty much the
no,
last.
The state needs to take this fucking school over and put in a new administration. They need to hire some education professionals, because these people in charge are a shit show like we haven't seen in a long time. All right.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Okay, I know the ethics of this aren't great, but I did just see Smash Mouth perform live at a local beer and wine festival. When I say this is the most chaotic show I've ever seen in my entire life, I have no words.
At no point was this sound balanced. Unintelligible speech.
Allow me to explain what you just heard in mashup form. Smash Mouth singer Steve Harwell was caught berating fans, I understand, forgetting lyrics, and giving a Nazi salute during a Hudson Valley performance. Could happen to anybody. It's very dicey up here in the Hudson Valley. Very dicey. Complete chaos is not something you'd expect from Smash Mouth. Well, I wouldn't expect an audience for Smash Mouth, but what do I know? The 90s alternative act... Really, alternative to what? Good music? The 90s alternative act is best known for family-friendly hits such as All Star and Walking on the Sun, and those songs from the Shrek movies. Fans tell me I'm going to see the Shrek soundtrack. Ugh, you know what? You almost deserve to be berated. Anyway, I'll go on. Fans who attended their appearance at Bethel Woods, Pipsine shows there this weekend. This is actually from a few months ago. Got a few notes of those tunes, but also a whole lot more. TikTok user Haley, who goes by the username Does This Feel Good? Yes. Posted just a sample of what she calls the most chaotic show I've ever been to. The video was taken at the Big Sip of Beer and Wine Festival at Bethel Woods, featuring live music by Smash Mouth, Remember Jones, I don't, and other guests. We reached out to a representative from Bethel Woods for comment. Harwell only recently returned to the band after taking hiatus for heart issues. Apparently he got a heart transplant with Hitler. A replacement singer was brought in to take over, which surprised many fans over the past few weeks who were unaware of the switch. Really? Okay. Are you paying that close attention to Smash Mouth? In retrospect, they may have been better off with a substitute than what fans were subject to on Saturday. Take a look below at what went down at the show, and then scroll to the bottom for the full video, which I played. He flipped off the audience, gave the Heil Hitler salute, led a fan on stage to go on about her birthday, took rest on stage while the band played on, threatened to kill a fan's family, said he would not leave his house if he could suck his own dick, and the band sang most of the songs. Now, you would expect that this would hurt their career, but I just got news they're playing the Christmas dance for Coosa High School. So this is very exciting. They were really moved by this performance and the Heil Hitlers, and like, this is our audience.
Yes.
Can you imagine going to a show, and unless it's one of these, like, you know, Hitler-y groups that come out of Germany, but can you imagine going to see Smash Mouth, the soundtrack of Shrek, and he's giving the Heil Hitler sign? Good. That's not an accident. That's some weird fucking shit. And you can see the looks on the band's face, like, what the fuck is going? What?
This guy was on meds or something like that. You know, that maybe he was just threw his chemistry off.
No. Because you and I know of a band, Rat, that played in your neck of the woods at the Paramount. And Stephen Piercy had a god-awful performance where he said he was on meds. I saw him at his next performance and he was fine. And you know what happened when he was on meds? From his story? He could not really stand. He forgot a lot of lyrics. He slurred his words. What Stephen Piercy did not do was say "Heil Hitler" and threaten to kill the audience's family members and say if he could suck his own dick, he'd never leave the house. So I understand what meds can do, but meds don't make it go all Heil Hitler-y, Joe.
Listen. I have a heart condition, and I'm currently off my meds. That's a long story. And I have not, like, busted to any Heil Hitler moves today, and everyone in the audience's families are safe from me. Just saying.
Although I must add, Pip has sucked her own dick and still leaves the house. So she's a worker bee.
I get out every once in a while because it gets sore.
Stop using teeth.
You want to know something, though? We've heard bad road MCs say worse.
No. Well, no. No. No, this was...
And that was your intro.
Yeah. Like if you're the band, though... I mean, Joe, you're in band. Like, if your lead singer is getting up there, and you can't control him, don't you just have to stop playing and walk off?
Yes. Yes. Although, that's probably going to forfeit a lot of dough.
They've already forfeited dough. Once the lead singer goes Heil Hitler, dough is going bye-bye.
Band is contracted to play. You know, you want your money. Your money's tight.
The band was not contracted to threaten the audience member's family and say Heil Hitler. The money's already gone. It's a shonda if you even try to get paid for that fucking gig. You know what you do? You walk off, you tell the promoter, I'm sorry, we're getting him into rehab or he will never see him with us again. We felt it was the best thing to walk off and cut the audio. We're embarrassed. We get it. Don't pay us. We hope you'll work with us in the future because we're mortified. That's what you do if you want future work. Because you can't get paid for the Heil Hitler gig. You can't.
I don't think that it's probably in the... Like, there's not a rider that says we get at least one Hitler salute during the set.
Well, it's in my rider for comedy shows. But I don't know if Smash Mouth had it.
And you thought that separating
M&M's
was a big deal.
I mean, look, they mentioned that there was a problem with the sound through the whole thing, but it doesn't warrant you acting up like that, you know. And I mean, look, I could be a princess at a gig, a music gig, with sound and this, that, and the other thing, but not like that. That's crazy.
No, I mean, if I'm this promoter, I'm saying sue me. I'm not paying you. And I would think this band right now is toxic. I think I don't see any... First of all, you're Smash Mouth. So you really don't... You're not the Rolling Stones. So you don't have the leeway that like a bigger act has. You're Smash Mouth. You're playing a beer and wine festival in Bethel Woods in fucking the Hudson Valley. Shit's not going well. This is not going to help. This is... I mean... Yeah. You got to do damage control. I'd fire the guy. You've already done shows with another lead singer. And people apparently didn't notice because it's Smash Mouth and nobody gives a shit. I mean, listen, if Smash Mouth is your favorite band, you deserve to be there when he tells you he wants to kill your family. I mean, they're fine. They're passable. But if I was at that show, I would want my money back.
Yeah, and you want to know something? Yeah, they should shit can him. Look, he's not David Coverdale. He can pretty much get anybody in there to sing for that band, you know?
They could get Mike McClinton.
Yeah. Sam Gravely Reigns.
Yeah, no.
Lisa 2i says, the lead singer then needs to be in a harness like you see we children in walking around the mall with mommy.
I mean,
I was picturing him in the harness, and they're pulling him off stage like the Big Hook.
I don't like with that rock concert we were talking about. Like the other guys covered for him, and they sang and everything. Again, you could make the argument that when they see Stephen Piercy in this condition, they should probably just apologize to the audience and end the show. But I get that's a hard call. Again, as I said, Stephen Piercy was not in a condition to perform. And a lot of lead singers and musicians are not at times. But when you start giving the Heil Hitler thing, it's time to go home, kids. Pack it up. It's time to bring it in. And when you're... I mean, Joe, can you imagine playing the keyboards? And Mike Messina decides to bring in a drunken chick to ramble on about her birthday in the middle of your concert. Can you imagine that shit?
Oh my God. Heil Smash Mouth.
You know what that day would be? That would be Joe's last day in the band Fragile Sky. He'd be, fuck it, I'm going back to Race Odyssey. I don't need this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe be like, all right, we made the video, fine. I didn't sign on for this nonsense, though.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just terrible. I would be throwing shit.
Yeah, like, I think you have to give everybody a refund. I think you have to.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen it?
You got to forfeit your pay for that set, and you got to fire the guy.
Yeah.
You gotta fire the guy.
I've never seen it. I've been to a ton of shows. I've never seen anything like that.
No. No.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anything that off the rails. No.
All right.
I tell you, though, I was at Jones Beach, and I was either seeing, I forgot which band it was, either Velvet Revolver or Stone Temple Pilots. I think it was Stone Temple Pilots.
Ooh.
And Weiland goes into the audience and is just rambling on about shit for about almost 10 minutes.
And no boy.
Like I said, I go to concerts alone. The guy next to me, I never told him, he looks at me and goes, we get it. All right, we get it. Back on the fucking stage.
The only thing I can think of, and it wasn't drunkenness, it was just a bad decision for the performance. It was planned. I saw years ago when they were still alive, I saw Peter, Paul, and Mary with my dad. I think I've mentioned this on the show. And they played some...
Peter, Paul, and Mary? How did they fuck up?
Well, I've talked about this on the show many, many years ago. But so they did some stuff together, and then they did some individual stuff, because you want to hear the Peter solo, the Paul solo, and the Mary solo. Now, what the Mary solo was, it was not music. She was attempting to do stand-up comedy, and it was god-awful.
Oh, the pain. I do remember you talking about that.
Yes.
Oh.
But that was a choice that the group made, apparently, together to allow this, and they should not have.
I saw Steely Dan when they were playing with Winwood, and Donald Fagen, he's the one that sings mostly and I think plays keyboards. I'm a guitar guy, Dan, if you will. That guy was rambling on about shit, and every opportunity he got to a mic, and everybody's rolling their eyes going, oh my God, shut up and play. It was really obnoxious.
All right.
Let's move on to some turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
A plane passenger has sparked outrage online after a photo emerged of her long hair draped over the back of her seat. The picture showing the hair draped down onto another passenger's tray table was posted on Twitter. Twitter user Anthony captioned the picture on October 20th with the caption, "Would this piss you off?" It is unclear what airline the woman was on or where the plane was headed. Does that matter? The tweet has since gone viral, with many replies reading yes, agreeing it would cause them upset. One critic even came up with a way to get their own back on the passenger, writing, "I would quietly lower the tray, let her hair fall in, and then close again." I like that. "It would piss me off, and I tell her to keep it in the seat. If she gets pissy, offer to cut it." No, you can't do that, because you can't bring scissors onto a plane, stupid. Another ad, "I'd start braiding that shit." And a third user said, "I have really long hair myself, and I would never do that to someone, and yes, it would kind of irritate me." Meanwhile, another critic added, "I totally agree with you, absolutely unnecessary, and kind of gross for that matter. How would she like it if the person behind her sneezed into her hair instead of their tissue?" That might teach her. I like that idea, by the way, too. By the way, my pubic hair often goes over my armrest when I fly and I wear shorts. But what are you going to do? What? No?
Jesus Christ!
You weren't complaining when we went to Vegas to see Aerosmith, so you're fine. While the
No.
I am being free. While the majority of commentators... Why do you have everything at hand? It's like the horde has gone to the house. It's left the...
It's show and tell.
How are you at Never On Let's Make a Deal? I don't understand.
Do you know that's really funny you said that? Because I had a friend that used to call me Monty Hall because I had everything in my purse.
Yeah, like if that was like that, I think it's they had it with Wayne Brady a few years ago. It still might be on. You really should make your way out there. Not drive because you don't have a car, but another way you should get out there. Let's see. While the majority of commentators came out in favor of the man who posted the image, not everyone agreed. In November last year, a plane passenger who flicked her hair over the headset, obscuring the person's behind TV screen, ended up with the chewing gum, a lollipop, and coffee tangled into her locks in an act of revenge. In a video shared on TikTok, which some have branded fake, the fuming traveler sat behind was spotted mixing gum into the hair. Well, this was the subject of Joe's blog, and now that Joe flew recently, he's all filled with piss and vinegar. He does not like the air travel experience.
Well, no, basically, when you used to fly, it used to be, and Anthony Cumia brings this up all the time, it was like an event, and you would wear a suit, you know, you would dress nice. Now,
yeah, Joe, hold on, let me stop you there, because you weren't treated like fucking cattle, and you had to pay a lot of money to fly. Now you can fly someplace for $20, and you're treated like shit. Yeah, but go on.
Especially on Southwest Airline, which is a Greyhound bus with wings. They shove you in there like cattle. Then they throw you a snack like you're a fucking seal. And then you got to eat your snack and your fucking little drink they gave you. But and it's like a stunt off a beat the clock because they're coming back down the aisle to pick up your shit. You haven't even finished the little minuscule fucking soda you have. Yeah, but it is. It's like I got to watch the woman like a hawk because they're coming back down with the fucking bag. And if I don't make it in time for the bag, now I got the tray. Now what am I going to do with this shit?
No, stupid. You put it in the seat pocket in front of you, and then when they come at the end of before the plane lands, you give it to them then. It's not that difficult.
I got to move the thing up, and then you got to hold the stuff, and how are you going to put this there? It's a federal case.
So, Joe, basically, the act of lifting the seat back to its upright position is too strenuous for you.
When you're crumpled like this because they got you in fucking steerage, and there's a guy storming next to you with a mask on, you're near the window or whatever, and now you're like trying to flip, you're holding the cup, and you're trying to flip the tray up, and what are you going to do?
I'm just saying you don't have to rush when they come through with the first round of garbage. They'll be back again.
You're going to be stuck with it the rest of the flight.
They come back, Joe! They come back several times. It's not that big of a deal.
Then you're it.
And you know what? You know what you can also do? They also have a little thing above your head where you can get a flight attendant to come to you. And then they'll come to you and go, here's a present for you. You do have options. And there's also a bathroom where if you really want to, you can throw away the stuff. But go on.
Yeah, but it's a federal case. So now that you got this girl that's got the hair, now the story didn't say if the guy asked her to move her hair. and it's like I would be, excuse me, Rapunzel, your hair's draped over my seat, you move your hair. But sometimes now people are assholes, now they're going to cause a scene. Now, yeah, she gets in an argument with you, now you're a new freaking TikTok star, and you get kicked off the flight. So, you know, some people take, you know, sit there and take it. But, you know, people just don't have a sense of being sometimes.
I think
you go like this. Maybe it's going over the other side of the seat.
I think, no, you know what? She did that on purpose because she probably doesn't like the feel of her hair on her pressed against her neck. That's probably why she did that. But you have to, listen, you know me, I'm the biggest pussy when it comes to saying something until I get fed up. You know, we've talked about this before. This is why I need Pip around.
I don't want the back of my seat looking like it reached puberty either, you know?
You got to say something. You got to say, ma'am, could you please, you know.
You got to be nice.
Yeah.
About it, man. You have lovely hair, but unfortunately, it's because what happens is if there's a scene, you get kicked off the fucking plane.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. It's
no,
completely
you just,
rude.
You grab your hair in the middle, you part it, you put it on your front. That's what you do with your long hair.
Oh, breaking news. Breaking news. Chris Cuomo. What?
I'm sorry, go ahead. Chris Cuomo what?
Chris Cuomo has been suspended from CNN for helping his brother Andrew Cuomo. Dumb motherfuckers, you. I mean, he was
stupid. Stupid.
I mean, in his defense, I'm not defending him because what he did is completely wrong, but it was an impossible situation. I mean, your brother's fucking floundering here. You're trying to help him, but it was an impossible situation. But you can't, but everybody thinks they're so smart they're going to get away with it. You're not. You're not, because somebody always fucking knows, because you can't keep your mouth shut. Bye, Chris. Now who's Don Lemon going to do the handoff with? Who's going to have the pithy repartee between 9:59 and 10:03 p.m. on CNN? What will I do? I'll watch something else. I'll be okay.
Well, the stupidity of it is that he acts like he's so principled.
Yes.
But then, I mean, I understand that he has family loyalty, but, you know, you can't stand there on your high horse and say, this is how things should be.
Yes.
I'm a principled journalist. And then fucking skeeve out with your politician brother.
Listen,
No. You don't get to have it both ways. You stupid son of a bitch.
The Cuomos... Are the perfect case of why conservatives call the liberals elite and shit like that. The Cuomo boys are the perfect case. Now, the conservatives are full of assholes who do the same shit too. But as Pip said, you can't be Chris Cuomo and hold yourself above the fray and then get fucking suspended because you're helping your lecherous fucking brother. You gotta go.
Yeah.
You gotta go. Bye, Chris.
Hey, you can't do both.
Bye, Chris. I look forward to your podcast.
I bet we get better numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, Chris Cuomo is not a big enough star where he gets to fucking ride this out. He's not that big of a fucking star. He's a star. He's known. But again, he's doing 9 o'clock on CNN. Slow down. You're not Lester Holt. You're not Brian Williams. Brian Williams had built up enough credibility where he earned himself a second act. And by and large, he did well with the second act. He did all right with it. You're not that big, Chris. You and Andy have a long future and some nice conversations ahead of you alone. You fucking douchebags, you. But whatever. What are you gonna do? All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of assholes in politics, real quick. Again, I'm not doing a whole political show tonight. Lauren Boebert, the congresswoman, asshole. Why is she an asshole? Because she makes up the story. About Ilhan Omar, who's one of like two or three Muslim members of Congress, makes up a fucking story how Omar was going to walk onto an elevator with her, with Boebert, and Boebert said, well, something to the effect of, well, it's okay, she doesn't have a backpack, I guess we'll let her on. Hey, stupid, you're not doing the fucking 11 o'clock show at Ha-Ha's. You're a fucking congresswoman. And for the Republicans to say nothing, except Adam Kinzinger, of course, for McCarthy, who wants to be Speaker of the House, to say nothing, fuck you. This is why I can't stand you, too. She's a fucking joke. What are you fucking... That's why I can't stand these people. And they make fundraising off this, and a large part of their constituency thinks this is great. It's not great. These assholes have to work together to make policy that affects all of us. They can't have less decorum than me and Joe on the fucking ride to Wisconsin. They can't have less decorum than that. And I gotta tell you, on the ride to Wisconsin, Joe and I don't have a lot of decorum. What'd you say?
That's the only thing about Ilhan Omar. She hates this country with a passion. And she was brought over when they brought all the Somalis over here, and they sent her to the Somali neighborhood. The Democrats had that set up to get more votes for them. So, you know, what she said might have been wrong, but Ilhan Omar does not like this country. She's the enemy within.
Well, actually, if we're talking about criminal records, Boebert has the criminal records. You can Google her fucking mugshot. But Omar, you listen. You can disagree with her fucking policy. That's fine. But she is the typical American success story of an immigrant who comes here and succeeds in this country. Like I said, you can disagree with her policy. That's fine. That's fine. But what Boebert did is out of fucking bounds. This isn't Joe making a fucking offhand comment to me after reading the news and me either laughing or giving him a side eye or fucking arguing with him. This is a member of Congress talking about another member of Congress. She's... whatever. It's all fucking terrible. See?
They're all looking for a soundbite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And they make money off this because a lot of Americans are stupid. Why do I always come back to that? All right. Let's go on. All right. Speaking to something that stupid happened, Joe, as you know, it takes a lot to get Mr. and Mrs. Helix out of the house. They don't want to leave.
They one car.
Yeah, exactly. You got to move heaven and earth since COVID to get the Heli out of the house. But I think, Joe, this next story might be the type of activity that you could get our ghoulish friend and her hubby off the couch for. This might get them out of the house. Why do I know this? Because I waited for 3 hours in the heat to see a fecocity museum about this awful type of shit right here, thanks to Pip. So that's why I think this way. Pip is not built for desert heat, my friends. Pip is not your desert heat type of gal.
No. I was made in the northern climes, yes, according to Ancestry.com.
There was nothing.
Oh,
there was
that like the Museum of Death or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They got like a show. They got a show on TV. We went to that.
We went to the Bob Museum instead when we were out there.
Yeah, well. If you went with Pip, you would have waited a line for that and had a never-ending conversation with the Uber driver. But I digress. Okay. The body of a 98-year-old man who died of COVID-19 was dissected in front of a paying audience in Oregon because they don't have professional sports teams without his family's knowledge, according to a local report. David Saunders' family, including his widow, only learned of the October 17th autopsy demonstration at a Marriott ballroom in Portland when it was reported by King 5 news station. Audience members paid $500 a ticket to attend the morbid presentation. I got to tell you, Joe, and there was no rarities in this fucking autopsy. It was $500. There was no B-sides. There was no outtakes. There was no liner notes. It was pretty straightforward. The event was part of the Traveling Oddities and Curiosities Expo, and it's amazing Pip has not seen this yet, which features occult art and sideshow performances and promotes itself as the nation's foremost community of all things weird. What's that? What's that? I hear Pip's seat dampening. Okay, I'll continue. It makes me really feel saddened that this gentleman was not given the dignity and the respect that he deserved and what he thought and his family thought would be happening to his body, Mike Clark, a funeral director in Louisiana, told the Seattle outlet. Why do we got to go to Louisiana for a comment? Does everybody in Oregon think this is okay? All right. Clark reportedly prepared Saunders' body before it was given to MedEd Labs. All right, first, what is that?
It's a little Day of the Dead figurine I have.
For Christ's sakes.
Of course it is.
For Christ's sakes.
Yeah. His head fell off of his body.
You don't need...
He's gonna pick up his casket handle. What's going on?
You know, Joe, Pip does not need an SUV to drive around in. She needs a U-Haul.
Crazy shit I have in my house. A pencil.
I went up and got an old Def Leppard cassette. Pip has like an eyeball in her pocket. What a fiendish laugh.
I won $50 with my fiendish laugh.
Okay. I want a t-shirt for faking an orgasm. What's your point? His family members were under the impression his corpse would be used for private medical research, not a centerpiece of the Traveling Freak Show, the report said. Now, Pip would volunteer to be a member of the Traveling Freak Show. As a matter of fact, since I will be the one to speak on Pip's behalf, because Mr. Helix is already, you know, halfway in the grave, you know, Pip is the healthy one of the two. When it is time, what we should do with Pip? And I'll say, you know what, we could bury her in a ditch because, you know, she spent all her money on a 2021 car. She doesn't have it. I recommended a funeral at the Oddities Museum. I think that would be most fitting. I think you would be pleased with my decision. Yeah.
I was thinking about the, our 15th wedding anniversary.
Listen, I'm willing to lose you. If you know, if it gives Mr. Helix the gift he's always wanted, I'm willing to do that.
Honey, surprise! I got you a dissection for your birthday.
Aw, I thought it was just gonna be a circumcision, but everything's getting cut. I was totally horrified, Clark told the station. Our whole staff was horrified that this was what happened to a gentleman that he and his family thought that his body was going for the advancement of medical students. Jeremy Siliberto, the expo's organizer, told King 5 that Saunders and his family did give consent. I can guarantee that the man knew his body would be used for medical research, the co-founder of DeathScience.org reportedly said. Well, I mean, if DeathScience.org is weighing in, I mean, who are we to disagree? MedEd Labs accused Siliberto of being beyond dishonest about his intent for the corpse, according to the station. Siliberto canceled a public autopsy in Seattle on Halloween following blowback from the article over the October 17th event. Aww. We feel that this was not respectful and certainly not ethical. Kimberly DeLeo, the chief medical death investigator for Multnomah County, Oregon Medical Examiner, reportedly said. I'm gonna make a hard stand. I'm gonna take a hot take, as I often do. I do not feel medical autopsies should fall into the realm of entertainment.
No, not at all. And then the funny thing is that the expo's organizer, that Saunders and his family did give consent for medical research. I can guarantee that man knew his body would be used for medical research. Yeah, but not in a carnival-like atmosphere.
Joe, hey, let me stop you right there. I feel like you are disrespecting the ballroom of the Marriott.
No. He's disrespected Marriott's before.
This should be for weddings, high school reunions, and comedy shows. Not fucking autopsy.
Well, Joe, I hate to break it to you, but you will no longer be opening for me on the road. I am stringing together a bunch of autopsies to open for me.
Oh, I guess I'm working with you now.
Yes.
I heard what you were doing. I have been doing autopsies down in Florida. You stay and mind your own business.
I will tell you this about Rosenblatt. Though his initials are doctor, he is not qualified to do an autopsy in a Marriott. A Best Western, possibly. A Ramada, more than likely. A Marriott, he is not good enough.
I don't like the guy that was going to do the autopsy. I will do it myself. Mr. The head fell off. I know my head fell off. I know what I'm doing.
Actually, Marriott Ballroom Autopsy was a band that I would really like to see.
Well, I mean, listen, I know the answer for me and Joe because we're normalish, but would you pay to see something like this?
No, it's fucking...
I know you wouldn't because you're normalish. You're not the ghoul, Pip.
Is a ghoul.
Yeah, I am a ghoul, but only the hot ticket would be autopsy and buffet.
Well, you gotta eat.
You gotta eat dinner in the show.
I could just see Pip afterwards to review. The autopsy was delightful. The buffet, the food was cold and not seasoned well.
It was sinewy.
I don't think this is chicken.
And it wasn't butchered correctly.
Yeah, really.
Does this look like a thumb to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody need a steak knife? All the hands go up.
So even you,
celery? Yes.
Even you, the ghoul that you are, would tap out on this.
Yeah, I would tap out on that. Although, I have to say, this is quite bizarre, and I think it has to do with the stupid algorithms that do what they do. Because this article came up in the show prep, and then all of a sudden on YouTube, I started getting autopsy videos. What? It knew! I was like, oh, God. So just to see, because you were saying, you know, things about how you figured that I would be into this. So there was one, and I said, okay, let me watch this for a moment and see if it's as horrifying as I think. And it was a medical autopsy, like, for students. And I tried to keep the bile down while I was watching. And they were showing that I didn't know that there were different numbers of lobes in each lung on the left and right, by the way. I learned that, and then I was like, this is too nauseating. I can't watch anymore. I was trying to just be like, it's interesting, it's educational. No, no, tapped out. I can't.
Interesting.
I gotta
tell you, like, if I was, like, figuring out where I wanted to have my event, where we wanted to have our meeting, and I wasn't sure, but I found out one of the hotels that I was considering held a human autopsy, that would make me probably lean away and go to the competition. Like, in your ballroom? In your ballroom? Like, I mean, seriously. I mean, doesn't the CEO of Marriott get on the phone with the franchise owner and go, look, Samir, what the fuck are you doing? You can't be doing this. You can't be doing this. We're a Marriott. We're not a Motel 6, but a Motel 6 doesn't have ballrooms. Still, you can't do this in our ballroom.
And people are complaining they can't hear the surgeon because the music from the wedding next door is too loud.
Well, this I want to do a takeoff on what Joe always says about educators. Jim, you can't autopsy the students, you know?
He's like,
yeah, the I don't know, though. It would not bother me if they had done this in a room that I was planning to rent out, because as long as they're not leaving, like, jars of formaldehyde and bits around,
no,
I don't care what they did in that room the minute.
No.
I really don't care.
Because this tells me these motherfuckers will do anything for a buck. And I, you know what, if I'm having my special event, I don't trust these people. Because of what happens if somebody comes in with $50 more to have their vet. Now I'm out. Places don't always hold your date. I don't trust these people at all. Plus, if I can give it to the competition where they don't have the autopsy in the ballroom, I'd rather give it to them.
Yeah, what happens with the wedding the next day? If you don't clean it up, like, you know, they wind up instead of throwing a bouquet, they throw a spleen by accident.
That's the highlight of the evening.
And you know, women that want to get married, they'll fight over that fucking spleen.
All right.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do some Scam Buster. This is basically, this is just informational with the BitConnect and Craig Grant. Not a ton of ha-has in this. We've had a lot of ha-has, so here's some serious stuff here.
Busters.
What a lead-in. All right. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is edging... All right. Enough, Joe. We get it. Stop your fucking singing. Enough.
You wanted that song. I just did what the boss told me.
The last time you did that. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is edging close to settling with some of the U.S.-based promoters of the infamous BitConnect scam. The regulator charged 6 promoters in May. As per a new report, it is set to settle with 4 of these, with penalties ranging from $526,000 to $3 million. This is not nothing, kids. This is some big money right here. BitConnect was one of the largest scams in the digital currency industry, with operators taking off with a reported $2.5 billion in just 1 year of operation. Regulators worldwide, from the U.S. to Australia and India, have been going after the orchestrators since it shut down in January of 2018. As CoinGeek reported, the SEC charged 6 of the U.S.-based promoters on May 28th of 2021. The accused included social media influencers Trayvon Brown, known to his fans as BTC Trey, and Michael Noble, a.k.a. Michael Crypto. The SEC complaint, which it filed in the Southern District of New York, accused the 2 and 4 others of selling securities without registering with the irregular. And this is what happens when you let fucking stupid people get in way over their head. This is what happens here. As a new report by Law 360 now reveals, the watchdog is closing in on settling with 4 of the 6 alleged promoters. Manhattan Judge John Culte has said he's likely to sign off on judgments against the four in coming days. According to the detail-oriented judge, the settlement agreements were legally sound but need some minor fixes to make them scrupulously accurate. BitConnect U.S. national promoter Joshua Jeppesen, who resides in Massachusetts, is set to pay more than $3 million in the settlement, according to the report. Jeppesen's fiancée, Laura Mascola, will reportedly pay up to $576,000, the amount authorities said she received from Jeppesen. Ryan Mason, who is the regional promoter for Oklahoma, stands to pay $526,000 in the settlement. Michael Noble's settlement amount is yet to be determined, Law 360 reports. Representing himself in court, always a good idea. Noble, better known as Michael Crypto. It's Michael Crypto Esquire, you motherfuckers. A little respect.
Michael Crypto?
No, Michael Crypto. Crypto Esquire. Claimed to have been very cooperative with the SEC and the DOJ. Yeah, because they caught you, you dumb fuck. However, the two parties have not seen eye to eye on the amount he's supposed to pay as part of his settlement. Sure, he wants to keep more, and they want to take more. I can see the dispute. Trayvon, BTC Trey Brown, who is the South Carolina regional promoter, and Florida's Craig Grant, there's a boy, boyfriend to Juliana, Craig Grant, have yet to come to an agreement with the SEC, Judge Cotell revealed. Of course not. BitConnect launched in January of 2017, and in the year that would follow, it lured tens of thousands of users with promises of 3,900% in annual returns. It makes sense. Why wouldn't you invest? It claimed to be a lending platform that received its users Bitcoin and gave them BitConnect coins. So you're going to give us the legitimate shit, and we're going to give you this new shit. Does that work for you? Because it works for me. Okay, let's do that. Pip, you're going to give me real money. I'm going to give you McDonald's Monopoly game pieces from 1997. That's going to be the currency. No. That's the currency you're going to have. It's going to be worth twice as much as the real money you gave me. Just trust me. Excuse me. I have multiple YouTube videos that say you should trust me, and other people who you don't know who say you should trust me. I really don't know what more qualifications you need.
Wait, just answer me this. Are you going to pull out?
Yes. I always say I will pull out.
Liar!
There's only one time I didn't pull out, as far as you know. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is filing charges against the crypto lending platform BitConnect and two of its top executives. The SEC alleges BitConnect defrauded retail investors out of $2 billion by selling unregistered investments in a, quote, lending program, according to press releases. BitConnect claimed they utilized a volatility software trading bot to generate exorbitantly high returns. You know, again, I often say this. Let's stop right here. And this is we've seen this for years. If somebody is making so much money, hand over fist, why do they need your money to share it with you? They shouldn't need your money. They're so fucking rich. And if they're so fucking rich, they could either give it to you or keep it to themselves. Why do they need your money? Anyway. However, the SEC claims the lending platform instead siphoned investors' money away into wallets controlled by the company and its founder, Satish Kumbani. The regulator is also filing charges against Kumbani and Glenn Arcaro, who worked as the company's top promoter in the U.S. Now, Glenn Arcaro was Craig Grant's boss. He was working under Glenn. Yes. It's a Ponzi scheme. Lara Shalov Meraban, Associate Regional Director of the SEC's New York Regional Office, says, "We allege that these defendants stole billions of dollars from retail investors around the world by exploiting their interest in digital assets. We will aggressively pursue and hold accountable those who engage in misconduct in the digital asset space." I do believe we have digital asset space force. I believe that's a new thing now to fight cryptocurrency scams. Kumbani pleaded guilty.
Those are the Space Force accountants.
Yes, those are the Space Force accountants. The pencil pushers. Kumbani pleaded guilty.
That's right.
Kumbani pleaded guilty to criminal charges related to a parallel action by the Department of Justice. In May, the SEC filed complaints against Trayvon James, Craig Grant, Ryan Mason, Michael Noble, who also served as promoters of the BitConnect lending program, and Joshua Jeppesen, who represented the company in promotional events. The SEC says it has reached settlements with two of them.
I wonder if one of them is Grant.
I'll get there. This is from the DOJ. This is their statement. It crashed spectacularly a year later, citing DoDoS attacks, regulatory crackdown, and even bad press. Since then, the authorities have continued to pursue the orchestrators, many of whom have vanished. However, one was arrested in India, while another one is facing up to 10 years behind bars in Australia. On Friday, U.S. District Judge Todd W. Robinson granted a request from the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's Office from the Southern District of California for authority to liquidate approximately $56 billion in fraud proceeds seized from the self-described number one promoter of BitConnect, a cryptocurrency who consented to the seizure. The liquidation is the largest single recovery of cryptocurrency for the United States to date. According to court documents, on September 1st, Glenn Arcaro, again, that was Craig Grant's boss, of Los Angeles, pleaded guilty to participating in a massive conspiracy to defraud BitConnect investors in the United States and abroad, in which investors were fraudulently induced to invest over $2 billion. The BitConnect scheme is the largest cryptocurrency fraud scheme ever charged criminally. With the entry of the court's interlocutory sale order, the government will begin the process of seeking make-whole victims of the BitConnect scheme by selling the cryptocurrency and holding the proceeds in U.S. dollars. The government will maintain custody of the seized proceeds in cryptocurrency wallets and intends to use these funds to provide restitution to the victims pursuant to the future restitution order by the court at sentencing. All potential victims of the BitConnect scheme are encouraged to visit justice.gov. USAOSDA/US/Glenn Arcaro, whatever, look it up. For information on rights that they may possess as a victim, the opportunity to submit a victim impact statement and identity themselves. So Craig's boss is on the hook for $56 million. Arcaro is
I can't even imagine how much money that is. Like
A little bit more than the Mets are paying Max Scherzer for 1 year. Arcaro is scheduled to be sentenced on January 7th, 2022, and faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. The FBI and IRS criminal investigation are investigating the case. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service is assisting with the liquidation of cryptocurrency proceeds. So, Joe brought up Craig Grant. Did he settle? I do not think he has. Now, remember, I mentioned last time we talked about this, a month or two ago, that Craig was in Jamaica. You know, he's got family in Jamaica. He's from Jamaica originally, or at least his family is. So he was there, and Juliana was in Florida. And I remember, and this happened shortly after May when it all started coming down that the SEC was going to press charges and he was named and everything. He kind of hightailed it to Jamaica, where we don't have an extradition treaty. As I believe we don't. I don't remember if we do. I don't think we do, but I might be wrong as far as that. And he was posting videos how he was building his house and everything. Well, he hasn't posted, and we've established Craig Grant loves him some social media. He loves posting videos. He loves to hear himself pontificate. He has not posted shit that I can find in over a month. So I am guessing he is on the run. I am guessing he's trying to keep a low profile because I don't think he has the money for any of these settlements. He doesn't strike me as him and Juliana do not strike me as the type of people that hold on to their money. They strike me as the type of people that spend money and they live paycheck to paycheck, and by paycheck to paycheck I mean scam victim to scam victim, because they always feel that there'll be more money coming. I think he thinks he's in real trouble. He has not hired an attorney, as far as I can tell.
We do, as of 1984, we do have an extradition treaty with Jamaica. So he's a jackass.
Well, I mean, listen, it's gonna. So if they want to get this guy, if it's worth it, you know, they'll track him down. If I can fucking find him, they can find him. They can certainly find Juliana, and Juliana knows where he is. I mean, she's going to play, you know, she's going to say, like what she said to me, oh, you know, he's got brain damage or whatever the hell she said to me. Some fakakta nonsense. You know, he's not right in the head. He's on meds. I don't know where he is. You know where he is. You're the mother of his kids. You know where he is. Now build the bounce house and give us Craig's address. Let's go, woman. So, I think.
Very interesting.
I think there's a chance he could go to jail.
Oh, absolutely.
If he doesn't
happen to a finer gentleman.
I mean, think about it. The minimum is $526,000 that they've settled, that they've done. I believe he took in, I want to, for some reason, like the number in my head is like $1.3 million or something. Like, they took in that much money at one point. They were living high on the hog. Now, not so much.
That's a lot of damn banana bread.
No, but remember, I told you. Yeah, that's funny. A lot of used underwear. I think he's in trouble. I don't think it's going to end well for him. Because I don't think he has the money to settle. I think these other guys had the money. And Trayvon, I don't think, has the money either. Because Craig and Trayvon were kind of tight. And, obviously they thought they were smarter than everybody else. But I don't think
any of them have it. I mean, that's a fortune.
No, but they took in this money. And it seems like some of them held on to the money. Or a good portion of the money. Which is why they settled. I think Craig, just as soon as it came, it got spent.
Wow.
Could be.
So, as Rachel Maddow says, watch this space. So, every so often I do a little search. I find out what's going on with that. It is kind of interesting, though, that we were in on this fucking guy like almost a decade before anybody else. And because all that research that I did is, I've gotten emails. It saved them thousands of dollars because they saw all the shit I did and they didn't invest with him. So, thought that was kind of interesting.
That was really great. That was great that you could save those people from foolishly jumping off into that, because now look at it.
Oh yeah, it's a shitstorm. All right, let's take our last break. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. We'll see what happens the day after a sexy talk. It was actually a little too much for Pip. Pip was usually into the sexy talk. It was a little too intense for her, I feel.
Yeah, it was kind of like that lung autopsy.
That's disappointing.
Sorry.
All right. On the break, we have new music from Devin Reardon with Take Me to the Coast and Primary Colors with the song Movement, and you can learn more about both those artists at fluttertone.com.